This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Math of Istanbul, terrible. Obviously, the what happened just the other day, Ellen Ratner was with us, and she was talking about how many times she had been through that airport. I've talked to a lot of people in my own personal life that have gone to Turkey and gone through there, and they have horrific stories to not horrific stories, of telling how beautiful it was and how awful it is that this happened, obviously. We have Justin Duckham from Talk Media News with us. Hey, Justin, how are you? You've obviously, there's a kennel next door, and you've ignited the dog somehow.
Yep, sorry about that. I guess I have that effect on people.
So what's the latest from D.C. on Istanbul?
Oh, well, we are getting responses in from both sides. We had Hillary Clinton today saying that essentially we need to have an emboldened, united international response to this issue. We had Obama today calling President Erdogan from Turkey, pledging U.S. support over there, and saying essentially that they are willing to provide any assistance that could be needed. And then, of course, on the right-wing side of things, we had kind of a skewed response. We had Donald Trump yesterday addressing this on the campaign trail, essentially saying that this is evidence that the U.S. needs to get tougher, essentially saying that Hillary Clinton is never going to be tough enough to deal with this issue, and then closing his remarks by saying essentially that the U.S. needs to start doing enhanced interrogation and things that are worse, actually asking people what they thought about waterboarding and then receiving cheers to that, sort of a pretty clear message that he wants to bring that back. And then we had Senator John McCain, essentially condemning those remarks, saying that, of course, this doesn't necessarily work in countering terrorism, but also going on and saying that this is essentially a direct result of the policies put forward by the Obama administration. So that seems to be sort of the general kind of message coming from a lot of Republicans on that front.
Yeah. You and I have been talking about what's gone on since Brexit and England and the fallout from what the Brits decided to do to break away from the EU. And I know that's obviously part of the buzz in Washington still. What are the thoughts now and less than a week later?
Well, we had the president today in Ottawa, where he was joining the presidents from Mexico as well as Canada, Justin Trudeau. And there were some remarks on that front, essentially saying that, this is sort of a dangerous move on behalf of the international community towards isolationism, expressing some deep concerns over this being an issue that more countries could ultimately move forward to. And then we had Obama essentially making some pretty clear remarks on this, going against the initial notion that essentially the UK was going to be put on the back of the queue, in his words, when it comes to making trade agreements. He didn't necessarily back away from that, but he kind of quipped that that should be the least of the concerns held by the UK right now. And then we also saw him essentially using this as kind of a chance to take a swipe at Donald Trump. He fired back at, the press who had been describing this as sort of a, growing international sense of populism that could be seen in the U.S. And then, in so many words, essentially saying that Donald Trump is not a populist, saying that he is not somebody who has really, worked on behalf of the people and whatnot, and said that that was essentially kind of a misnomer that's been applied to Trump and been applied to a whole lot of people internationally. So just his kind of thoughts on that one. But nevertheless, there is still some very deep concern on this issue.
Yeah, how about the Quinnipiac poll coming out and saying that Clinton and Trump are in a dead heat?
Yeah, essentially this is a tie if you look at the margin of error. There is 40% going for Trump and then 42% going for Hillary Clinton. And there's about a 2.8% margin of error, 2.1% margin of error for this, which means that essentially they are in a tie. This is sort of one of the more interesting polls in the sense that it doesn't show Hillary Clinton with a clear lead, which seems to be sort of the standard at this point. I believe Fox News actually released a poll that showed Clinton with a much more substantial lead not long after. But either way, this is pretty interesting. It also, more importantly, I guess, showed that there still is a major deficit in terms of favorability with both candidates. Both of them have unfavorability ratings at about 57%. And then their favorabilities are at about 30 to 34, with Clinton and Trump respectively, or vice versa, which just goes to show that this probably is going to be an election based primarily off of voting for, you're voting against rather the other person rather than voting for your own candidate.
Boy, no kidding. All right, Justin Duckham, last one. I mean, you're a California kid. Are you watching Shark Week?
I have caught a little bit of it. I've been spending a lot of time with my girlfriend, and I don't think she's the biggest fan of sharks. I told her about my plan to essentially go in a shark cage as part of my bucket list, and she's not necessarily very, supportive of that, I guess. I guess in front of the whole, she doesn't want me to dive there, which is kind of nice to think about it.
You know, the place to do that is Cape Town, South Africa. It's very scary because you sometimes will have 10 and 12 feet sharks, 12-foot sharks, rather, that hammerheads, et cetera, and some of those white-tipped sharks that'll be there right around the cage.
Can we go to Cape Town? She says, sure. Okay, cool. We're good.
Sure. You're there. You're in the cage. Well, really, essentially, you're swimming with the sharks in D.C. anyway, so they're just sharks of a different kind.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Justin, thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You too. All right, so you heard what Justin said, and I mentioned this, or I haven't mentioned this, but the fact that Clinton and Trump in that dead heat in that latest poll shows you that it can change in a moment's notice. That's just how politics is. One day you're in favor, the next day you're out. And I just believe this goes along with the theme that we've been talking about, that it's too close to call. Let's face it, it's at that point where it's too close to call. Speaking of too close to call, coming up a little bit later in this show, I'm going to talk about mutilated body parts washing ashore next to the Rio Olympic venue. They do have video of it, though. And Michael Phelps qualifies for his fifth Olympics, but it's so dicey as to who's in and who's not when it comes to this Olympics. Hopefully, it does turn out to be a good one, and I think it will in the end. But leading up to it, boy, it's a terrible publicity that Rio is having to deal with. And I'm sure they would prefer that that's not the theme, that people are talking about mosquitoes and people are talking about body parts washing up in terrible water and all of the negativeness. The economy in Brazil, which is not good now, and of course what's happened with the government and everything that goes along with that. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, we're talking about the Brits again and what happened just last week and how it affects you and me.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London, Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
When you outside go, am I new but do? Why you were thinking I didn't have a clue? Time to start bio with your voice.
Thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight. In our virtual green room right now, Jeff Stevens is with us. And, you know, we were talking about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Jeff is a political commentator, contributor to thedailysurge.com. He's got a great book, Rogue Mission, a Jordan Sander thriller. Jeff, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we see that the polls are flipping in a couple of different directions. This latest one has Trump and Clinton pretty much neck and neck. Do you think that by the time we get to November, it's going to be that way?
I think it's going to be pretty close. I'm not a fan of polls in general, but yeah. Certainly polls being taken prior to the conventions are not going to tell us very much, and I bet you agree with that. And then
yeah.
The other part of this is it's all about who's taking the polls and how they're skewed, and you know, there's so many ways to skin a cat. It's like Obama's unemployment numbers. I mean, if you don't count the people who have stopped working and looking for jobs, then how are they real unemployment numbers? So I'm not concerned. I think Trump's on a good track.
Yeah, and what about the whole vice presidential pick? To me, I think that the VP could be more than somebody that we test with their spelling skills and how they spell potato or whatever word. I think they could be much more significant.
That's very good. That's very good. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just had a dinner tonight where that is exactly what we discussed. And a very, very smart individual advanced the idea, now you're going to think this is crazy, that Newt Gingrich should be Trump's pick. And before you say that's the craziest thing you've ever heard, his argument was that Gingrich, in his time as Speaker, knew how to get things done and that he could build the bridge between Trump and Ryan, because Ryan's going to be very important in this election. You can't minimize the importance of the Speaker of the House, and that he also brings a lot of experience and knowledge that Trump doesn't have, because let's face it, Donald Trump's been a businessman. He hasn't been a career politician. So I didn't much love the idea, but I certainly heard what he had to say. It was interesting. As for Hillary Clinton, who the heck knows? If she runs with Elizabeth Warren, I got to tell you, that would be very helpful to our side.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. It doesn't seem to make any sense to me. I think it would be the mayor of San Antonio or somebody else that could,
or Ted Kaine or somebody.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody who's gonna bring a little more to the party than a socialist agenda. You know, Hillary's got enough to answer for. I just can't see it. But who the heck knows? But in the meantime, I don't know who else Trump is going to go for. I do hope, and you know, I respect what he's done in terms of the politicking and how he knocked off 16 viable candidates along the way, but I do think that he needs to get with somebody who has experience and is going to lend a little gravitas to the ticket? Does he want to go with somebody like a Kasich who perhaps can deliver Ohio? I don't know. Trump seems to be doing okay in Ohio, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. The issues, after what we saw that just happened in the UK, the Brexit, does that favor Trump, you think?
You know, and I've been shouted down on this, but I'm going to tell you the following thing, Kate. I think 2 months from now, none of us are going to be talking about it. I think for the United States, it's a non-issue, and it's already becoming a non-issue for the UK. I mean, they've made their decision. Markets are already steadying. The pound is slowly coming back up. I just don't think it's going to mean all that much. I don't think it's going to hurt or help either of them. I really don't. I think one of the things, if you don't mind me just throwing this in, that's going to be problematic is the series of terrorist attacks in Turkey, which are so tragic, because you know the media is reporting now about this airline attack, this air terminal attack. The fact of the matter is, Turkey has been hammered by a series of terrorist attacks in the last 4 months. On a biweekly basis, 10 and 20 people at a time are getting killed over in Turkey by ISIS. And America tends to be a little egocentric, I must say. You know, when it happens in Paris, everyone says ooh and ah because we all love Paris and people go to Paris. And when it happens in Brussels, we could sort of relate because it's not that far from Paris. But Turkey seems, oh, well, it's not our problem. But it is our problem. They're an ally of ours. And we need to be doing something about this. And we have no leadership whatsoever. And I think that Trump is a guy who could step in and say, I'm going to do something about this, because if they could keep attacking Turkey, they're going to start attacking us. And that's going to be a problem, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously. Is that the biggest issue? Is security, national security, all of that the biggest issue?
You know, I don't know that. I mean, for me, it's a large issue. Look, I write novels about espionage and about terrorism. So obviously, it's on my front burner a lot of the time. But I think in the final analysis, historically, Americans vote their pocketbooks. And I think that the economy always winds up being front and center. And I think that Trump is a guy with all of the warts that he has as a businessman, because let's face it, businessmen make mistakes, businessmen don't always succeed, but he sort of fills people with a sense that he knows how to get things done. And people are sick in Washington, obviously, of people not doing things when they should be getting things done. So I think the economy is going to be huge. I think security is also going to be a big factor, also depending on what happens, God forbid, in these next few months. I mean, that's also going to tell a tale. But I think given what's happened in Orlando, in Brussels, in Paris, in Turkey, we need a leader who's going to take action, not someone who's going to give it lip service like Obama has done for the last 7.5 years.
Yeah. Jeff, do you think the younger voters come out? We saw what happened with Bernie Sanders. Do they go somewhere else? Do they vote? Do they crawl back into their studios?
I don't know, Kate. I mean, I go back to what you're saying about polls. The polls seem to indicate that only a small percentage of them are going to move to Trump, and that most of them are going to go with Hillary, because in the end, it's leftist politics. But the question is, can she rally these troops? And I tell you something. I was in New York City a couple months ago, just before the vote in New York, and there was a parade that went from the Battery all the way up to Midtown of Bernie Sanders supporters, and they had a vigor, they had an excitement that Hillary Clinton is not generating in her campaign. It was almost Trump-like in the way they followed. And now that he's out, or will be out, I wonder how big a turnout she's going to get from those people. It's going to be very interesting to see.
Boy, no kidding. And you think, just like we talked about at the top, that this could be a coin flip?
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping not, because, you know, let's face it, I'm a conservative, and there are more registered Democrats than Republicans, so coin flips scare me. I think as Donald Trump moves into a more presidential demeanor, I think as people get more comfortable with him, a lot of people who are going to surprise themselves by saying, you know what, it is time for a change. It is time to get away from career politicians. It's time to go with somebody who really wants to go in there and get things done, and who has proved he can get things done, as opposed to somebody who has not. And so I'm hoping it's more than a coin flip when the time comes.
I love it. Boy, if I could be a fly on the wall, I bet you had some interesting dinner guests. It sounds like you had a good dinner.
It was quite interesting.
I love it. Jeff, don't be a stranger. Jeff Stevens, pick up his book, Rogue Mission, a Jordan Sander thriller. And, of course, you can catch his stuff at DailySurge.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoyed it. Hillary Clinton, we're talking about that, leading women 50% to 33%, but Donald Trump with men 47% to 34%. And as Jeff says, especially leading into the convention, it's not the same as when you take polls when you come out of a convention. And usually you get a bump on the heels of a great speech, something that's happened. Other people who have spoken well at a convention. That's why the list of those who get the main stage, the prime time, very important for the Republicans and, of course, the Democrats, too. That's what happened with Obama having to make nice with Hillary Clinton so that Bill Clinton, who still had massive popularity with Democrats, would be a big endorser of his and make a fiery speech for him in Denver back in 2008, and that's exactly what happened. So for either party, that's what you're looking for heading into the convention. The endorsements there matter. The conversations in and out of the hallway matter. Somebody who gets up and is a great orator and really nails it and pulls it all together. Everybody leading up to the nominee can be very significant, especially as you get deeper into prime time. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, some odds and ends. And boy, there are a lot of them, my friends.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days.
Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer. Only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
We've seen ISIL carry out and incite an array of terrorist attacks in the region, beyond the region, directly and indirectly.
Yes, scary stuff. What happened in Istanbul, the airport, 41 people dead, scores of others, hundreds of others were injured in this. That was the CIA director, Brennan, saying the bombing should be a big warning to the U.S. I think at this point we realize the possibilities. We saw it with the lone wolf terrorists in Omar Mateen and what happened in Orlando, whether or not it was fueled by something else as well. And we certainly know what happened in San Bernardino at Christmas time, which was awful, as the couple and killing the people that they did in San Bernardino. But he's suggesting something bigger. And Turkey, of course, had the signs of ISIS. And he says, I'd be surprised if, and you heard there, if it's... you know, ISIS is not trying to carry out that kind of attack right here. No organization, by the way, has officially claimed, if you want to call it that, responsibility for the bombing at Istanbul, at that airport. Three suicide attackers wearing vests, opened fire, blew themselves up in the airport arrival hall. One was in a parking lot. I mentioned 41 people killed. 239 were wounded, obviously coordinated. It had all the earmarkings of that. And remember what happened at Brussels at the airport there. That was 3 months before that. So here we go again. And we hear the same familiar patterns where you have whoever the leader is of the country, the Turkish prime minister, telling reporters that it looks like ISIS and that there have been other parties that have targeted police and military personnel with bombs, but ISIS is most likely behind it because of the determination to kill as many people as possible. And this is an airport where you have, frankly, a lot of Europeans, a lot of Westerners. I was talking to a guy today who is from Nepal and travels a lot, and he told me his just been there countless times to go to Nepal, to go to India, to go to other places. It was a jumping off place, and a lot of traffic goes through there. Yeah, the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, last month, remember, he was talking about that ISIS has the capability to conduct a large-scale Paris attack in the U.S. Well, of course, anyone does if you think about it. It's the art of surprise, the shock and awe of it, being blindsided, and somebody who's willing to die, somebody who's willing to rig themselves up, try to blend in, and then just simply blow themselves up and destroy the lives of the people around them. That's exactly the modus operandi of this group, and take out as many people as you can. So there you go. I said that this was about odds and ends, and certainly that's one of the saddest conversations that is still being discussed in your backyard and in mine. And what can you do other than offer the people in that country and the people that unfortunately were in the middle of that your greatest condolences, because the shock of getting that phone call where someone simply is dropped off at an airport coming back from someplace, to me, an airport, honestly, I want you to think about this for a second. What does an airport mean to you? An airport to me, since I was a kid, when I got to go on my first flight, my grandmother was sick, she was riddled with cancer, and my grandfather scraped his pennies together just so my brother and I could go to, go with my grandmother to California, knowing he knew, we didn't know, this would be a special time, we could spend it with her, and we'd get to do the cool thing of being on a flight and whatever. We're kids, little kids. You get to go to Disneyland, and that was so special. And going to the airport was so cool to me. And I guess it was because of that memory. And every time I went to the airport, if I was coming in, it was exciting. I was coming home. I was meeting people. I was picking people up. So the airport, to me, always had happy, happy feelings until all these other things happened, starting back on 9/11, and now we see Brussels and Istanbul and that concern of, okay, not to be paranoid, but who's next? And that's too bad, because always flying and going to an airport meant something really cool to me. I was picking up somebody I wanted to pick up. I was getting back to some place I really wanted to be, whatever it might be. And now that's what those people are confronted with. They were waiting for someone. They're excited. They're leaving. They're excited. Or they're coming back from somewhere. And then that's it. And it's just despicable is what it is. It's just despicable, to give it the perfect adjective. That's what I would call it. All right, we move from that nightmare to a couple of other things, as I said, that are buzzing out there. What I call the odds and ends. How about this? Facebook. Anytime Facebook does anything, first of all, good for Mark Zuckerberg. It makes news. Facebook decides to change its color scheme. Huge news. Facebook decides you can't look at people's friends list. I mean, whatever it is. So Facebook's news feed, which I didn't realize, is one of the most powerful media streams in the world, they say. It's the source of information for 1.65 billion people. And whatever Facebook prioritizes in the news feed is what publishers often prioritize in their newsrooms. Wow. I mean, I knew they look at scour social media, but I didn't realize it was that big. So Facebook is now saying it's going to be more about family and friends, that they're going to have guidelines for their news feed. And it means posts from friends and family are heavily weighted against news feeds. And news feeds have to be informative, meaning learning something, whether it's local political news, celebrity gossip. Facebook says its second most prominent signal is finding posts that teach people things. And then it has to be entertaining, trying to predict what you would want to spend your time reading and watching that will show you that stuff, that we'll show to you next. So how crazy is this in a sense? But the VP of Facebook is saying that I don't want us to talk about the algorithm as this third party. He says, I want to really own the responsibility as a team. I want people to understand there's a team of Facebook people behind the experience. So it's not random, apparently. And boy, news publishers that rely on that news feed for their content are plumb out of luck, as they say. So I'd say that's on purpose. It's going to be about different things, not about publishers grabbing up whatever it is. Then there's this story, sad story, actually. A pile of American flags, they say they found in the garbage. And I was having to read this link to it. Found at a vet's cemetery. Who is throwing American flags away? And I saw the picture. It's disgraceful. Did they not know you're not supposed to do it that way? Did they just not think about it? I don't know. So a guy who was visiting his father's grave, who goes every week, and this is in Rhode Island at the Veterans Cemetery, saw the piles of the torn and ripped American flags at the cemetery, took photos of it, and then called the local news station, called somebody else up, and of course it's been shared thousands of times at this point. The guy who posted it said that he was getting messages from all over the country about how disgraceful it was that a veteran's cemetery would just toss these flags this way. And you know, people are upset, they're speechless. The flags in the photos that are out there being posted all over, I guess they say, were properly burned after the cemetery got a permit from the fire department. So that's what they decided to do. The flags weren't stowed away properly. They weren't prepared for proper disposal. They were in bags on the ground, and it was a mess, so they didn't follow the procedure. So anyway, after this became huge news, they decided to do it properly, and they burned the flags the way you're supposed to burn the flags when they get to that point, when they were old. I mean, I don't know how long they had been out there. But, see, you never know who's watching. And this poor guy, every week going to see his dad, just going to the cemetery, and then he sees that, and he's just, wow, can't believe it. And this is the crazy thing. And this shows you how hot people can get over sometimes the most ridiculous things. This is a story about a customer at a Wendy's in Missouri who attacked a pregnant employee over missing straws. It happened on Sunday afternoon. There was some security video that was released, so you can see it. And the Kansas City Star pumped it out there. And what happened was she, you know, what happened was she, this woman grabbed this other woman and dragged her out of the window after an altercation before a coworker came and helped her. It's crazy that the fight was over straws. So when she went to the window, a woman was standing outside, said she and her friends didn't get straws. Before she could finish saying that the straws were in the bag, the woman started pulling her out of the window, and then the other woman attacked her. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with people? She's pregnant. I mean, but regardless if she was pregnant or not. So, she had severe head trauma, black eyes, and scrapes on her face. She is a fast food worker. That is ridiculous that someone would do that. Come on, people. Over straws. And by the way, the straws were in the bag. Dumb things, speaking of that, I shouldn't have done on the flip side.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffer from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hello, boys and girls. Your old pal Stinky Whistleteeth. And this is a song about a whale. Oh, it's a song about being happy. It's a happy, happy, joy, joy song. Sing along. Happy, happy, joy, joy, 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 joy. I don't think you're happy enough. That's right. I'll teach you to be happy. I'll teach your grandmother to suck eggs. Now, boys and girls.
Oh, my, oh, my. Pretty funny stuff.
Again.
Hey, hey, here we are at the tail end of yet another hour here on ATN. Can you believe it? Time just flies like that, doesn't it? It's amazing. So I have been really saving them up. We haven't done it in a while. And I'm pulling it back out because so many of you asked to hear them again. And I've got some fresh material for you. It's time to find out the silly things that we've all done, and we all do stupid things. I like to call it dumb things I shouldn't have done.
Dumb, 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 dumb. I just shot myself.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
I'm dumb.
Yeah, not good. All right, so this one from Andy. And Andy says, Kate, oh, I don't know how I did this. And I think I heard you mention this one time on the air. In fact, I'm almost positive you did. You know, it's a silly thing, and we take it for granted, I suppose. But you would just think that you have your bank card and your credit card or two and your license right there in your wallet. Had my plane ticket all packed up. Taking my sweetie on a trip to Florida for a very long weekend, get to the airport, realize when I go to my wallet, I'm panicking, pulling out every single thing I can like a woman frantically looking through her purse. Only it's not a purse. It's a little freaking wallet. No license. I had switched wallets, and I forgot to transfer over everything from the one wallet. So needless to say, I had a double back. Go and get my license. I didn't really have any great forms of identification to get me through. So we had to get on a later plane, and it ended up delaying us by 6 or 7 hours. What a frustrating day it was. There is a lesson in that. It is a dumb thing. Because if you're checking everything, you can pack all the clothes, the underwear, everything else in the world that you think you need under the sun. But if you don't have your ID, you ain't getting on any plane. And you are right. I did have somebody else that had that. I've actually known somebody that happened to, although they had to double back, get the license, and they didn't have to wait too long. They didn't mess up the day because it was a pretty long flight, but they luckily had gotten on one. So the worst would be, and obviously you did too, the worst would be if you just, that's it. There's no seats and you're trying everything that you possibly can and you can't. So, yeah, that's no good. You got to have your identification. It's good too, because then you can check, make sure it's not expired. Because I had to always check, I got mine just in time before it was expired. I mean, you don't see it all the time, so you're not thinking about it. It's kind of like the, if you have a passport, it's like the passport thing. Do you know if your passport's expired? Is it, is it not expired, or what's the deal on that? In fact, while we're sitting here on the air, I just reached into my desk drawer to see if my passport was expired or not. Is it expired? All right, let's move on to our next one. This one is from Robert, and Robert says, "Oh, Kate, I don't know what I was thinking here, but, it's starting to get warmer. I live in the great state of Arizona. You have some fans here, my dear, and I had lots of trash. I'd had people over, but it was all bagged up neatly, all that stuff, and I was going to take it outside to move it to the curb. But what happened was I got a phone call. I had it outside, so it was outside. And lo and behold, it really never made it all the way to the curb. And in between, I had lots of animals that discovered the joys of what was left over in my trash. Wow. So that means animals. And he's not listing what the animals were. They could be almost anything, but what a hassle. And some animals digging through your trash and then having to pick all that up and the hassle of that. Yeah. Trash is a funny thing, depending on where you live and how well bagged it is or whatever. In my neighborhood, now they have bobcats, armadillos. We've got all kinds of possibilities for what could, actually end up digging around in your trash. You have to be incredibly careful. I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, how about this one? This one is from Stacy, who says, Kate, dumb thing I shouldn't have done. Boy, there are so many. I've listened to some of the stories that you've talked about, what people have done, and I can come up with a whole bunch of dumb things that I've done. I think the dumbest thing I did was decide that I was going to learn how to sail. It looked pretty darn easy. I rented a sunfish. I was going to surprise my kids, learn how to sail, and then sail in and get them. Nobody knew I was sailing, and I didn't surprise anybody, but I spent a lot of extra hours trying to figure out how to get in from the middle of a very deep, deep bay. Because I was very far out, there wasn't much wind. I knew nothing about the word tack other than trying to figure out how to do it. I ended up getting towed back in. It was a disaster. I was thinking I was just going to go out there and it would take maybe an hour or two. It ended up taking like 5 hours and I really didn't learn how to sail. It's a funny thing about thinking you can do everything and sailing, not so easy. Looks so easy. Little boat. Oh, just push open the sail. I know all about that. When I was a kid, we had a sunfish. I had to take lessons, and I was kind of iffy on the whole thing, and I was okay. I was okay at sailing, but when there was no wind, and you had to do that thing where you loosen up the sail, and that's what you're talking about, tacking, and you're zigging, back and forth. Oh, brutal, and that's what happens. I mean, if you no motor, you completely run out of wind, and you can't catch any air that way, it's going to be a long day. It's good to admit that you can't do everything and take some lessons here and there. All right, how about this one? This one is from Crow. And Crow says, "Hi, Kate. Crow really is my nickname, although I certainly have eaten a lot of it in my day, if you know what I mean. As far as dumb things that I shouldn't have done, I think one of the dumb things that I shouldn't have done is decide that I was going to learn how to ice skate. I was going to take my kids. I live in Florida, but there are ice rinks. I thought it would be fun. Instead, it ended up where I cut my hand on a blade. We ended up in the emergency room. I am a terrible skater. I never skated. I thought that I would be able to go around with the rest of the group because it was like roller skating and ice skating, other than the movement, I suppose, of your legs, are not very similar. And my children actually did okay versus me, who ended up cutting everything short by cutting myself, by cutting my hand. And it wasn't such a fun afternoon. Again, this is why I piled these two together. Looks easier than sometimes it is, huh? And especially if you've never done it before. But if you roller skated, a lot of times when people can roller skate or ski, they can skate. They've got the movement down. But it is different on a sheet of ice, I guess, versus roller skating, I suppose. I was thinking about that when I read the note, Crow, and I never really roller skated as a kid. I went one time. I feel like I got by, but I want to say I hung on to the sides a little bit because I had no idea how to stop. I guarantee that's what it was because I never skated. I didn't have roller skates. I wasn't interested in roller skating, and I had friends that were, you know, as I got a little bit older, somebody had a party or something at a rink, at a roller skating rink, and boy, it was tough. All right, thanks so much for all those dumb things. You can always send me your dumb things to AmericaTonight.net.
And including a rather large number of religious instruments in between. Bells of all varieties. Holly, the snare drum, tambourine, timpani, and a tam-tam, a song, followed by a set of chimes. Orchestra bells. And finally, roll on your cymbal. Before the time of Beethoven, was confined to the F of this low middle C, bending down to the F not the lower.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
You're listening to GCN, the world leader in independent talk radio.
Is this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Cross. Donald Trump is faced with putting on a national convention without some of the Republican Party's biggest stars.
With the GOP convention now 2 weeks away, it's unclear who will be prominently featured during the four-day event in Cleveland. The Republican Party's two living presidents, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, its most recent presidential nominee, Mitt Romney, and Ohio's Republican Governor John Kasich all plan to skip the convention. With few political allies, the Trump campaign hopes to be joined by a number of entertainment celebrities. Greg Clugston, Washington.